Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when
we're with tonight's die. Guest, co-founder and chairman of Brain Rush, Nolan Bushnell.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky with the stars.
And musical guest, Sonny War. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I had an interesting afternoon. I played Brain Rush pretty much all afternoon. I couldn't stop. I was having so much fun, and I was learning about things that I actually thought to myself, I probably could have actually learned this in school, like chemistry and a little bit of history and actually a couple other things. There was some English, learning where to put commas. You know, it's funny because I had a thought that was interesting. For some reason, it connected me to when I was actually learning how to make a little ball move on a computer screen to match kind of the Pong game of Atari. You see, I was studying electrical engineering and computer science at UC San Diego. And that was my major, and I needed to learn how to do that in order to get a degree. And I remember saying to one of my fellow students, I just don't understand this, how to make this ball move. And he says, well, Filippo, it's easy. Look at this. And he showed me a little algorithm, and I said, no, it still doesn't make sense. He says, but Filippo, it's easy. And he showed it to me again. I'm like, no, it still doesn't make sense. And he said something brilliant. He said, well, don't worry. I can't do what you do. And I said, well, what do I do? And he says, well, you stand on stage in front of all those people. You act, you sing, you do all that stuff. He says, I couldn't do that. You speak in front of people. I couldn't do that. I'd get tongue twisted. I wouldn't know how to put two words together. And I thought, wow, couldn't put two words together. And I can't put two algorithms together. This is interesting. So today, that I think my brain wasn't made to work that way. But today, I was learning things that were difficult for me to actually learn in school, because the computer was actually figuring out my brain while I was playing it. And I thought, huh, maybe I just wasn't learning the way I learn. Maybe I could have done both. And it'll be interesting because the man who's created this Brain Rush thing also created the Atari thing that I was trying to figure out how to make the Pong thing work in school. He's here with us. Who would have known? It's Nolan Bushnell, and we'll be right back with him live here in the studio when we come back on the Life Changes Show.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere, our co-host. Oh, did you play Pong?
You know, yeah, of course. Of course. I wonder, I think everybody has some sort of Atari story.
Yes.
Some sort of Pong
right.
story.
At least you didn't have to figure out how to make it work.
Well, that's true. Maybe different stories. But, you know, talk about a game changer, talk about a life changer, and
yeah.
It really set in motion so much cognitive influence. I would say it was probably one of the more innovative and influential innovations that we've seen this century. It's amazing.
You know, it's interesting. We talked to a lot of people that have changed an industry. I don't know that we've ever talked on the show to somebody who has made an industry. This guy did. He is an inventor and an entrepreneur. He's the founder of Atari and Brain Rush. He's here with us today. Nolan Bushnell, thank you for being with us.
Hey, it's great being here. Great fun.
You know, you have to say what you said during the break.
Well, I like wordsmithing. And for the last couple of months, I really like the whole concept that insanity is underrated.
That's a great line. That's
a great line, yes.
Because in some ways, you are accused of being insane whenever you try to radically innovate. Mm. I mean, innovation is a lot. It has its roots in anarchism because you're breaking rules. And so I kind of like this idea of the inventor as the rebel, the creator as a disruptor or an insane person.
Okay, so this is a great observation from a man who's been through so much and can look at it from here. Let me ask you, when you were much younger creating this, did you think you were a disruptor? Did you think you were happily insane? How would you have described yourself then?
I hate to say this because I'm afraid it will disappoint everyone. I was just trying to make a buck.
And you made two.
And you made two.
Well, but at 25 cents a time.
No, exactly. Sometimes you don't know, right?
Correct.
But what kept you going? Because were people around you saying, oh, you've got something great here?
Well, it's funny because almost the contrary. Everybody thought,
right.
What is this? I couldn't raise venture capital. They said, you know, game on a computer or on a, remember, this was really pre the personal computer. This was before the microprocessor. So it was strange times and it was hard. We never had enough money, but people liked our stuff. And, you know, we had to figure out ways to build things. I mean, the company was capitalized with $500.
Wow.
And we had no venture capital until we were about $30 million in sales. So I've often thought the video game was the easy part. Figuring out how to fund it with no money, that was hard.
You'd think by now we'd learn. And venture capitalists would learn and are looking for the use of today.
Oh, I think that it is very, very unnatural to see the outliers. And, you know, anytime you have a collective thought, it will always mediate to the mundane and the banal. You know, and it takes the crazy outliers. I mean, Steve Jobs, one of my old employees.
Well, actually, you have the distinction, I have to interrupt, to say that you're the first and last person that ever hired him, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. No, Apple hired him back.
Oh, okay.
Kind of.
Okay.
But it was a thing where part of his ability to do the major disruptions, and I actually think that his re-enter of Apple was his most disruptive era. And that's
saying a lot.
Yeah. Well, he had some maturity. He had come off of a quasi-failure. Next was not a big success. And so he had seasoning, and yet he had all the skills that he developed at both Next and early Apple, and I think at Atari, and I think that it really he was a fine-tuned machine at that point.
And many don't remember the difference between Apple version 1 and the Apple that he created from there, which are completely different companies.
Completely different company, but remember, Steve was an aggregator of technology. If you really look at a lot of the things that made Apple what it was, they were invented elsewhere, but sort of cast aside. The mouse came from Stanford Research Park, some of these other things, the full, graphical user interface clearly came from elsewhere.
Well, real quickly, what did you hire him for?
He was a technician.
Oh, okay.
And I actually didn't hire him. My head of engineering hired him.
Okay.
And I wasn't aware until his autobiography came out. And I did a lot of interviews for that, but then, of course, I had to read the book. And Walter Isaacson spent a lot of time. And according to the story, Steve came to the front lobby and in a such a Jobsian fashion said, "I'm not leaving till you hire me because this is the coolest company to work for."
Interesting. And what were you doing that was so cool at the time?
We're making games.
So the first game, as I understand it, is this little ball and these. Did you visualize?
It's actually the second game.
Oh, is it? What was the first one?
One called Computer Space. Had a big fiberglass cabinet, and we had licensed that to another company. And we thought of ourselves, since we had no money, we thought ourselves as a band of engineers that would design games to license to other companies to build them and make them.
Hmm.
And when we got Pong, nobody wanted to license it. So we said, well, I guess we better manufacture it.
Oh, wow.
What a godsend, you know, because I think that was that was absolutely a breakpoint that had it we licensed, because Pong was such a phenomena that it's a perfect game to launch a company with.
Is Pong like half a ping pong? Is that where it came from? Okay.
I mean, I
never thought of that.
We weren't really that inventive at the time.
And yet you were.
Well, you know, I got to tell you a story. It's funny.
Please.
In Pong, in the UK, means bad smell.
Oh.
Ooh.
Okay.
Bit of a Pong in here. And so when we started doing some international marketing, the UK guy who wanted to sell our games in the UK said, well, of course, we're going to have to change the name.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, it means a bad smell. Would you want to go into a pub and have a big machine there that says fart on it?
Interesting.
How funny.
So we just changed the cell screen, and in the UK, it was ping.
That's interesting. I never heard of that. Problem solution.
Wow. Okay. Well, you pinged that.
I did.
It's interesting because so much opens up, including Chuck E. Cheese. Now, how that fits into the equation, we're going to have to wait to find out when we come back. Chuck E. Cheese. When we come back with our guest, Nolan Bushnell, after this, and a little later on, live music here in the studio by Sonny War. All on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with our co-host Mark Legere and our guest Nolan Bushnell. We're talking about so many things. I'm going to just jump to Chuck E. Cheese. How does Chuck E. Cheese fit into the picture? Okay.
I started Chuck E. Cheese inside Atari.
You started Chuck E. Cheese?
Oh, yeah.
Inside Atari.
I didn't know this.
That's how it fits it. You didn't read deep enough.
Oh, hold on. Let me bow. Let me stand up.
I thought you were being clever, leaving
it
out of
the open.
No, I really
didn't. I knew he had something to do with the Chuck E. Cheese theater. I thought maybe you were the production side of the house.
No,
he produced it, for sure.
We were selling coin-operated games for $1,500 to $2,000. During their lifetime, in cash drop, they'd earn $40,000 to $50,000. And so I said, self, I'm on the wrong side of this equation. But I didn't want to compete with the people I was selling my games for. Mm. And the competitive landscape was the location. You know, can I get the arcade, the one arcade in the mall? Mm. Can I get Joe's Bar to let me put my machines in there? Mm. And so I felt that I had to create my own location. And so,
like a go-to place.
As a go-to place. Mm. And so I said I needed three things. I needed to create a big arcade. I needed to get traffic. And I need repeat business. So I felt, okay, I'm going to slap food in there. Pizza has a wait time, so that's appropriate. Now I need entertainment. And the gold standard at that time was a thing called Pizza and Pipes that had an old Wurlitzer theater organ, and they'd pack the place when there was somebody playing the theater organ selling pizza. And I said, gee, I can't do that. It was an antique. It's hard to keep them running. I'll just make something like that. And then I had the epiphany by going to Disneyland with my kids, and all of a sudden I went into the Tiki Room. And they had all these mechanical things going on. I said, shit, I can do that.
And you did.
Wow.
And so it came about.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. So you started that industry too. Well, I'm sure is the organ thing still around?
Somewhere.
Oh, okay. But that's kind of like the first game. And then this took over, right? Because all I've heard of is Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
I've been there many times. I mean, I'm a grown-up. If you hadn't noticed.
My condolences. No, it's a great place.
Well, so wait a minute. So you're a smart guy and you're a smart guy. I mean, you're not just like engineering smart. Like this is building a restaurant and a concept and all that. That's a whole different mindset. No wonder you can build something like Brain Rush. You know how things work.
Well, I also have a curse. And the curse is I have a 5-year attention span.
Oh, okay.
And when things are working really well and wonderfully, I get terminally bored.
Wow. Yeah.
And unfortunately, I have done so many crazy things just to amuse myself. Mm. And I don't know, but it's worked. Well, you know, I also invented automobile navigation.
You've been more successful than most at amusing yourself.
Well,
wait, I think you just said something. You mean GPS?
No.
Oh, okay.
I had a company that was prior to GPS. That we licensed to General Motors and BMW a in-car navigation system that used dead reckoning systems, knowing that GPS was about 3 years away, and I felt that GPS, no matter what, is going to have good mapping systems, good algorithms, and everything. So we basically mapped the world, and if you go into Google Maps or TomTom, those are all based on my Corp database.
Wow.
What'd you say?
And
now there's a funny story on that.
Is there?
We designed the company in the middle of the Pacific Ocean at 4 a.m. on a sailboat race, the thing called Transpac. And we were doing some dead reckoning navigation, the thing that you do. And, you know, they just barely had sort of done satellite navigation, which was really bad. And so you had to do all this math to figure out where, in fact, you were based on that fix. And we said, boy, you know, this would be a slam dunk if we didn't have all this squishy stuff under us. You know,
the ocean.
And we said, we could do a navigation system using these algorithms and automate it a little bit and put it in a car, slam dunk. Yeah, let's do that.
Wow.
Wow.
Amazing. Got off where the ideas race, come from.
Funded the company, and the rest was history.
With a little more than $500, I would imagine, at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I had a little more resources.
You're also doing something with Leonardo DiCaprio's company, Appian Way. You're in pre-production for something?
Yeah, I think so. You know, my wife is tracking that whole thing a lot.
Okay.
You know, and I have this rule. I don't like to live my life in the rearview mirror. The most fun stuff is the stuff that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the rule and the curse, by the way, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so my wife thinks it'd be fun to have a movie about the early days of Atari. And so there was a group that she liked that wrote a screenplay, and it's being chopped and that sort of thing. And Appian Way picked it up, and I don't know, the wheels of Hollywood grind slow but exceedingly fine.
Interesting.
You're gonna just show up and watch it when it's done? Or?
No, I've got a cameo. I don't know what I'll be.
Fun. Excellent.
Well, it to put all the stories in there, it would have to be like an 8-hour movie or something. So
yeah, they'll just only do the
Atari
salacious ones.
So what would you say to people who are listening to this? So many people want to give up, feel like they can't move forward, and here you just success after success after success.
Oh, you know, no. Trust me, I did a personal robotics company. I lost $28 million in cash.
Wow.
But people forget your failures.
Well, I'm still thinking of $28 million. You're like hitting me left and right here. Right. Are there any more you want to tell us?
Oh, yeah. I had two or three real stinkers.
But the success makes it a little bit easier to forget those.
And the thing about it is, when people are playing chess, they win some, they lose some.
Right.
If they lose them, they reset up the pieces and they play again.
Right.
Business is kind of that way.
Mm.
You know, and what's fun is the process. And the outcomes, yeah, you want to win. And you try really, really hard to win. But sometimes you just screw up.
Might you have learned something from the robotics company that you maybe used later? Or
absolutely. I mean, right now, I could build a robotics company that would be a very, very powerful company. I know more about the robotics market, the form, feature, and function. And one of these days, I'm doing, I probably need to have an investment of somewhere around $40 million, and it would be purchased by Apple or Google for $2 billion in 3 years.
Sounds planned out.
Yeah, I kind of would like to do it. I've got Brain Rush. I've got a couple of other things. I'm okay. Ready for a real.
You're going to blow me away again.
Here comes
here.
The next one.
Oh, I wish people could have seen him do that. He set it up.
I'm writing and co-producing a play. It's a musical called Pong the Musical.
Wow.
And it's not just a musical, but it's an immersive musical.
Oh.
So imagine if you would. There is a game bar. And if you have a ticket 40 of you will enter a room in which is the first scene, and it's all around you, and it's high, and it's fun. And it's the story of the Pong Square. And he's unhappy because he can't get girls because he's so square.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a hero's journey of the Pong Ball trying to round himself up a bit.
Oh, and a life lesson to boot.
Wow.
A life lesson to boot.
But of course.
And what we're going to do is each scene heavily augmented with multimedia and all kinds of whiz-bang things.
No, I get it. You're starting a whole other industry. Go on.
Yeah.
Basically.
Basically. But the thing
Broadway, watch out.
Oh, this is so much better than Broadway.
That's what I said. Broadway, watch out.
And so each scene is essentially a decade, a leap forward in the video game technology. So first scene is black and white and really squarey, and the next scene is a little less square and more bigger palette, more shades of gray. And then we go to RGB, calendar art, broad things. Then a bigger palette, more dynamics, heavier sound.
Am I hearing also a little bit autobiographical?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Okay. A little bit. And of course, then Pong.
Well, you obviously got the girl.
I did. My wife is so cool. You know, I'm married 38 years.
Wait, what's her name? Let's say hi,
Nancy.
To her. Hi, Nancy.
And she is the love of my life. And
wait, 38 years, you said?
Yeah, 40 years.
40
years. Well, 38. I don't know who's counting.
Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you your anniversary.
But you know, we have six kids together, and you know, one of the things in today's world that I'm really considered myself blessed at is that I do it all over again. You know, I'm happy. I'm really happy with some of these decisions that I made.
Wow. Fantastic.
You know?
Wow. That is so great to hear. And thank you. Everything just got like so. And that's real. When Nancy came into the room, right? Bring Nancy in and everything's like, oh. Well, when we come back, actually, we should talk about Brain Rush. I think it's, I told you I was playing it this afternoon, and I'm surprised with how much I've learned, and I wish I had it when I was a kid. So we'll talk about Brain Rush. We're talking with Nolan Bushnell. If you want to learn more about him, he's all over the internet, of course. His LinkedIn is Nolan Bushnell, B-U-S-H-N-E-L-L. And of course, Brain Rush, which we'll be talking about when we come back, is Brain Rush, as in brain rush.com. We'll be right back with Nolan Bushnell, and a little later on, live music here in the studio by Sonny War, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life, and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, your host, sitting here with Mark Legere, co-host, and our guest is Nolan Bushnell. He's an inventor, an entrepreneur. He's the founder of Atari and Brain Rush, and an all-around fun guy.
Well, thank you.
I wouldn't have thought that. How's that?
Well, no, see, I told you early, insanity is way underrated.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, well, so Brain Rush. So I was playing this afternoon, and it reminded me that so I couldn't figure out certain things because I was more, you know, I was outfitted for the stage, so to speak, singing and acting and all that stuff. But I think if I had a game like Brain Rush, I could have figured out how to make that pong ball move.
No question about it. And how Brain Rush started is what I call a deep dive. I'm not really obsessive compulsive, but occasionally I get curious about something and I want to understand it. And I am a secondary researcher. I'm not a primary researcher. That is, I glean the research that has been going on and try to understand things on a much more profound level. And I ask myself, how do people learn? What's the chemistry? What's the brain science? How do you, and can it be optimized? I went down a few red herrings and talked about, you know, can you enhance learning by putting squibs and getting people into an alpha state and some of those things. And it turns out that after sort of distilling it down, I came up with five principles that really work. And I'll tell you real quickly, because what I really want is, I really want for the software to fundamentally change education in the world. And we can accelerate it.
I see that. As a matter of fact, somebody wrote, I'm a middle school Spanish teacher and I use Brain Rush with my students today. They loved it. And that was in Georgia. And go Brain Rush. Brain Rush was a huge hit in my class today. It hasn't even gone there in a big way yet. And already we're seeing those signs.
Well, the reason is it's effective. For example, in Spanish, where we've done a really good job, I think, the students that do a Brain Rush with Spanish language vocabulary and a little bit of syntax, Spanish 1, they outperform Spanish 3 students that are without it.
Wow.
You know, and, wow. And the reason is that reading, lectures, listening, watching is not effective. And the reason is our brains are designed to forget what we hear, what we listen, because we're inundated with scenes and sounds and everything. If we remember it all, our brains just would explode. And so what is the learning moment? And and if you put a student in an fMRI, you can give them a book, you can give them a lecture, you can give them a movie, all that. It's not even a twinkle. The minute you ask them a question, everything lights up. It's like learning it or just saying, thinking about it, you know, working on it, whole different ball game. And so our principles are extreme time pressure. That puts you in the learning moment. You don't have time to think about what you're going to do after school. You don't have to think about, you know, all the other stuff.
In other words, there's a clock going that's saying, do, 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 do. Yeah. It's right there.
It's right there. Okay. And it's one of the core characteristics of good gameplay. A lot of gameplays really need a time element in order to be powerful. The second one is active. That is, every Brain Rush, you are making a decision every 3 to 5 seconds. That's actually the learning moment.
Wow.
You know, third position, play to mastery. You can't complete that game. You can't without knowing it 100%.
Yeah, I didn't get there on any of them yet.
Well, you can do it. Fourth principle is it needs to be recursive. It needs to be adaptive.
Right.
So it is looking at everything you're doing and changing it a little bit. And
yes.
It says, okay, you know that, so we're not going to test you on it again. Maybe we'll throw it in a little later just to double check.
Just to make sure.
But let's just focus on the stuff that you don't know.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it really was.
That was the brilliant, brilliant part. Okay.
Yeah. And remember the extreme time pressure?
Yes.
Well, it turns out that we all have slightly different clocks. And unfortunately, people who are considered to be mentally impaired are called slow. Oh, he's a little slow. Well, it turns out that there are an awful lot of people that are a little slow that are cognitively brilliant. And that by relaxing the time a little bit, it normalizes their outcomes.
So the time actually
slow
changes?
Slow processor, but yeah. Same cognitive abilities.
Correct. And in fact, you know, there's so many kids who have grown up thinking that they're stupid. When in fact, they're just a little bit slower than the other person. Like, you know, I can tell you right now that I'm slower at games than I was 20 years ago. That you lose a millisecond of reaction time for every year that you're over 26 years old. And so if I play Halo with my kids, they just can mop the floor with me.
And they love it, I'm sure.
And they love it. Yeah, absolutely. If there's stealth and guile involved, I'm still in there.
Do you ever, you say you don't like looking in the rearview mirror, so you don't play any of the things that you created.
Oh, no, I do that.
Oh, you
just
do? Okay.
Just for fun.
Okay.
But mostly I still play Go, which is the Asian game, and that's a really good game. It's one of the few games that uses both hemispheres of your brain. Oh. So there's an artistic, creative side to it as well as an analytical construct side. I like that a lot.
Talking to you right now feels like you're going to be at this for another 100 years.
I'm going to give it a hell of a try.
Well, thank you for that. You're an inspiration all the way around. You do know this.
Well, thank you.
You're brilliant.
Well, no, I try a lot of things. And my advice to anyone in your audience is just do a lot of crap, a lot of stuff. Be active. Keep your mind active. And examples, what you want to do is be willing to be a beginner over and over and over and over again. And beginning things, instead of being scary, is a steep part of the learning curve. And
could be exciting.
It's almost always exciting.
We don't always look at it that way.
And I think that there is a bias towards not failing. Of course, as it should be. But that bias comes over and says, you know, don't try this because it's going to be hard and you're probably going to fail at it. Wrong thing. Your brain is so plastic that the more different things you try, you're actually building your brain, getting smarter, getting more clever, pushing back the potential for dementia. You're going to be happier. People who have a lot of projects are much happier.
Yeah.
I did a tweet the other day that I was so proud of.
I got to start following you. How do we follow you on tweet? On
At
Twitter?
Nolan Bushnell.
Okay, Nolan Bushnell. Okay. I have to start following you.
So anyway, I tweeted and I said, optimists live longer than pessimists, making them both correct in their outcome.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I thought it was a kind of nice.
Wow. I laughed. I learned. Everything you said coming from the man who's created Brain Rush. I mean, playing that game, learning, or playing actually all of them, learning what I learned, I realized you knew how my brain works. But what you're saying is this is how every brain works, just in different timing.
Timing and constructs. We're actually having some tremendous results with prisoners. A lot of people who are locked up have essentially a third grade education. And so when you have low skills, your probability of recidivism is very high. And so I'm part of this program for the Nevada prison systems using Brain Rush. and we've been able to do some remarkable things. Prisoners who have never succeeded in anything in school at all, they've said, gee, I can do this.
It makes them think they can, too.
It's changed their life. It's changed their life outcome.
Feeling success.
I'm actually, you'll think I'm nuts even more, but I'm working on a program so that.
Wait, another one?
Yeah. so that a judge, when they're sentencing someone, they have prison, a fine, community service, the thing, you know, house lockup, you know, the thing on your ankle. I want to give them another tool. And that tool is, in order to stay out of the slammer, you have to do 2 brain rushes a night.
Wow.
On your phone. And what that does is I think that it will be massively cheap to do it. Two, after doing a year of brain rushes, you're going to have some skills that will give you a better job.
Wow.
Gamifying rehabilitation.
Redefining. Yeah, let's do rehabilitation.
Yeah.
And there's a very interesting thing.
How excited he gets. No wonder. He's a...
No, it's very hard to be successful at a brain rush if you're stoned or drunk.
Oh.
So there's a little bit of remediation in there that if you want to stay out of the slammer, you have to stay a little bit a little bit conscious, learn something, you're good to go.
And then they're better off, and society's better off, and payers are better off. Everybody's better off.
It's a win-win-win-win.
Win-win-win-win. You are a walking win-win-win-win, Mr. Bushnell.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being here. What a pleasure it is to talk to you. And I feel like my brain is like this big right now.
A rush.
Yes.
It's a brain rush.
It's a brain rush. Touche. Well, Brain Rush, you'll want to go learn something, play, have fun at brainrush.com. You can actually join, or you could even try it out without even having to join,
yeah,
right?
Just play.
Just play.
Have fun.
Just play.
There's another quote. Just play.
Just play. Yeah. Brainrush.com. And Nolan Bushnell. We'll be back right after this with our live musical guest, Sonny War, on the Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Philippe Pavolta, just sitting here with Mark Leisure, and our guest joining us is Sonny War. There is so much we could say about her. As a matter of fact, the LA Weekly said it well when they said, she is going to blow you away. And I can't wait to hear her for many reasons. Welcome to the show, Sonny.
Hey.
Glad you're here.
She's a singer and a songwriter and so much more. You know, it's funny because people call you an activist and a force to be reckoned with, and you're this
quiet, you know, when you're not
smiling.
Singing, you're quiet, smiling. And so when I even said that to you, you said, no, not me. I'm just a folk singer. Well, folk singers have done a lot of good out in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I think what's funny is how you decided you wanted to pick up the guitar. Two movies in particular, right?
Well, my mom said I used to watch Tommy and the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
The Who's Tommy?
Yeah, the Who's Tommy.
And then you said, Mom, I want a guitar.
That's what she says. I don't remember. <but.
laughs> So you were that young. How interesting. And so you do something interesting with your playing that critics have said they've never seen before. And now I figured out why in talking to you before the show. You said your hands are at war with each other. What did you mean by that?
I think they're not competing, but just I'm always trying to play two parts.
Like so, the accompaniment and the melody or the bass or what?
The bass and the melody.
The bass and the melody.
But it's also kind of like a war just because I'm always trying to figure out how to play as many things that you can't play while playing a lead. Like I try to go as far as I can with just one guitar.
Well, I think that's the blow people away part. And so for you, it's something that you're trying to figure out how to do, and people are trying to figure out how you do it. So are we going to get to experience some of that, or are you slowing it down for us? What are we going to hear today?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay, well, let's see. I know you have an EP out, War and Pierce. You have a CD, Worthless, and you have one, Red, White, and Blue. Are we going to hear anything from any of those?
No, I'm going to play two new songs.
Two new songs. Oh, thank you for honoring us with that. What's the first one you're going to play for us?
The first one is called He Is My Cell.
He Is My...
Cell.
Cell. As in C-E-L-L?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then let's just hear it. Here's Sonny War singing He Is My Cell. Live on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
Love is heaven, love is heaven. Love is heaven, love is hell. Love is prison, and here's my cell. Whoa.
Wow. Amazing. How do you do that just sitting there like that? Sunny War. One of her CDs is available at her website, sunnywar.com. That's sunnywar.com, like sunnywar.com. That CD is Worthless. Red, White, and Blue and War and Pierce, those are available on iTunes and other places, right?
Yeah, iTunes. I think that's it.
Okay, it's iTunes for sure. And people can find you...
WarrenPierce.com.
And WarrenPierce.com. Okay, and Pierce is P-I-E-R-C-E, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your music is very soulful. It's you're not afraid... other people have said you're not afraid to speak your mind. And to hear of some of your background, like you traveled a lot and not necessarily by choice, right?
Yeah. Well, I traveled a lot with my mom, but then later I traveled a lot
on your own.
On my own as a
So you were kind of used to it, but
like
your mom
I guess I was a hobo, I guess.
Cuz your mom kept moving from town to town for whatever reason she had to, and you then kind of took that on?
Yeah.
Did it too.
Yeah, it was great.
And so you probably have influences from everywhere.
Yeah.
Or you see the world more than most people see it, right?
I've seen America.
You've seen America.
A lot.
And so you sing about a lot of different things. What's your favorite thing to sing about?
My favorite thing, I guess, is just like whatever is depressing at the moment.
Mm.
I like to sing about just relationships that fail, and then just kind of like my own fantasies about anarchy and how like things should be, and just think, I don't know. I like to sing about drinking. And I like to sing about love and losing love, and I like to sing about how I think things should be.
I wish people could see her right now. She's got this huge,
giant smile.
Yeah, exactly. Giant smile, exactly. Well,
she also has one other skill that might not be immediately obvious to the passerby, which is her unicycling ability.
You unicycle?
I unicycle.
Really? Don't tell me you unicycle and play the guitar at the same time.
No.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds interesting. Do you sing about unicycling?
No.
No? Okay.
No. That's it's supposed to be a secret, but it's okay.
Oh. Okay. Oops. Well, thank you for letting us in on that. What are we going to hear now?
Now this is another new song called With the Sun.
With the Sun?
With the Sun.
With the Sun. Okay. Well, here's Sunny War singing With the Sun. Actually, has this been on the air before? Is this new to
it's
the
on,
airwaves?
There's a video on YouTube made by Solart and of this song, and then but it's not on an album yet.
It's not an album yet. Well, you hear it here on Life Changes. Here's Sunny War at Studio NoHo. Thank you.
months of summer, the only time for me. Sometimes I wonder how anyone can be happy in winter, happy in autumn, without the sunshine. I hit my bottom down, 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 down. Shirts on. We're going out today. We're gonna stay warm. No clouds are in the way. This ain't no winter. This ain't no autumn. We wanted blue skies, and now we got 'em. Down, 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 down.
Sonny War, thank you so much. Hey, I see Dar Freeland and Ed. Is that it? That is Ed,
Edward,
right?
Edward Dawson Taylor
clapping over there. And Dorothy Dunn. And Sonny, you are amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Your guitar sounds like a harp.
Yeah, at that time it did. It's just
it should be a guitar.
One woman band. Sonny War, thank you so much. That was such a pleasure. I wish we had time for so much more. In the meantime, that is our show. And so we thank Sonny War, our musical guest, and our guest, Nolan Bushnell. I want to thank our studio audience, Dar Freeland and Edward Dawson Taylor. And I want to
all of them.
Thank I want to thank Brent Hahn for making us sound so good here at
thank
Studio
you,
NoHo, and Doug Newsom, our program manager at BBS Radio. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Legere, our co-producer, I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes like ours did tonight, thanks to all of you here, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.